So we're starting now bracha of slicha. Slach lanu. Okay? Last week we touched on tshuva. Right? So, obviously, why does the bracha of slicha come after the bracha of tshuva? Because the way that if you do tshuva properly, you'll be promised to get slicha. Now, Hashem will forgive your avers. Now, in the bracha of slicha, that Hashem, we get that Hashem forgives our avaris. So the lashon is like this: Slach lanu avinu. Again, we refer to Hashem in this bracha as both avinu and malkeinu, similar to what we did in the last bracha. Avinu, our father; malkeinu, our king. Also here, avinu, slach lanu avinu ki chatanu, and mechal lanu malkeinu ki fashanu. So, we have to understand why do we split it up, Avinu and Malkeinu, and why in the beginning do we start with Slicha, and in the end we end with Mechila. Son los dos palabras para la misma cosa. Disculpame, perdoname. Well, what does that mean? It's the same thing, right? Slicha, Mechila. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So, what's the difference between Slicha and Mechila? What's the difference between Avinu and Malkeinu? And what's the difference between Chatanu and Parshanu? Because it says Chatanu here. Avera, hicimos pecado.
Yeah.
Errado, hicimos pecado. What's the difference? A chait and a pesha. Right, and why, whatever. Why is Slicha connected to Chet, and why is Slicha and Chet connected to Avinu? Okay? So, okay? So to summarize the question, I don't want to have to look over here. Huh? He's not here right now. So, I don't think that's your seat. Okay. So, Zev Moshe's here. Regardless.
Yeah.
So I'm turning on my thing. So now, okay. Yeah. It feels good. Okay. So, to understand that, it's like this. There's two parts. Potential parts to an avera. Really three, but let's focus on two. There's two potential parts to an avera. One is the actual avera itself. The other is the damage that it does to the relationship that you have with the person. Okay? Or to the covet of the person. Okay, so let's say you have a teacher, a Rebbe. So you call out a middle of class. Okay, so that's a problem. You're going against the rule. But if he said multiple times you can't do that, and all of a sudden you do it, so now you're showing a bezayin to his covet. Okay, now the bezayin to his covet is a lot harder to repair than the actual avera itself. The actual avera itself, you can kind of you can fix, but the damage to the covet is in a way more significant. Although it depends, not every avera is necessarily going to damage his covet, and in some cases, depends on the avera. Sometimes the forgiving of the avera itself is easier than the forgiving of the covet involved. Okay. So there's two parts to the avera. So now, okay. Yeah. So now it's like this. Slicha is considered, according to most mafarshim, slicha is a higher level of forgiveness than mechila. Mechila is when I did something against your kavod, and I'm asking you to be moichel your kavod. Like you say, harav shemochal al kvoidei, kvoidei mochal. I'm asking you to kind of forgive the assault on your kavod. So that's why before Yom Kippur you say, "Are you moichel me? I was mevazi you. I did something against your kavod." And you're asking mechila for the fact can you pardon me? It's like a pardon on the you went against the kavod of the king. So can you be moichel? So the king says, "You know, no problem. I'm moichel." Hold on. Mechila is against the kavod, but slicha. Sometimes the person can say, "I'm moichel." I'm moichel the fact that you did it. So for example, let me give you an example. Let's say you go ahead and you're really angry at me. Someone gets really angry at me and they slash my tire. So now, not only did they cause me damage, they also embarrassed me. And they also, going against the covet of the person. So now, they come back and say, "No, I'm really sorry. Are you moichel me? I'm moichel you. It's okay, but pay for it. I want my tire back. No problem. I don't mind that you did it. I'm okay with that. You were angry. I got it. I'm moichel the assault that you did to me. I'm moichel the attack. Yeah, I'm moichel the attack that you attacked me." But I'm not saying leach you. I'm not looking the other way. I still want my money back. Slicha would mean that you actually undid the avera itself, the problem itself. So if a person says, "Not only am I moichel you, but I'm going to give you slicha." Slicha means that it's like you didn't do it. So that's a much higher level. Okay, it's harder to achieve that. So. Okay, now that's generally what slicha means, and that's generally what mechila means. This is according to most of the mafarshim. This is according to the Malbim says like this, and so does the in the Siddur HaGra in the Avnei Elio. He brings this down. The son of the Vilna Gaon says this pshat that slicha is against the avera itself. Mechila is on the covet of the person. Okay, so now like this. First of all, we still have to figure out which one is easier to ask for, okay? Now, normally you ask for the easier one first. You don't jump to the harder thing. You go to the easier one first, right? So, according to the way we're learning, it's a little hard to understand because it says, "Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu." Then mechal lanu makenu. So mechila is less than slicha. So why are you asking for slicha first? And not only that, look at the end of the bracha. Ki moichel v'soleach. Then we say mention mechila first because that's less. Hashem give slach lanu mechal lanu. Why? Because you are a moichel and then a soleach. Moichel is a lower level. You're moichel and you're covered and you're soleach the aver itself. So then why in the beginning of the bracha do we say it in the other order? Yeah, you see, we switch the order. Here's slach, then machal, then at the end of the bracha, mochel v'soleach. So, right? So now, so here's the pshat. Pshat is like this. Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu, a chet is an avera b'shogeg. Shogeg means by accident. Now, when a person does an avera by accident, they still need tshuva. Right, because you have to bring a korban chatos for an aver by accident. So obviously, an aver by accident requires tshuva. Why? Because you're careless. There's still definitely a level of carelessness involved in a chet by accident. You allowed yourself to be careless. Right. So now, when a person is asking for tshuva, for forgiveness on a chet b'shogeg, the mechila part of it is much less than the slicha part, right? Because the mechila part, I didn't try to go against your kavod. It was by accident. I have nothing against your kavod. So therefore, when you start off with shogeg, so slicha is what you're asking for, and the slicha of shogeg is much less than asking for mechila of mezid. Mezid means on purpose. So therefore, we first start with slach lanu for a chet. Give us forgiveness for the avirus we did b'shogeg. A chet means b'shogeg, like a korban chatos, same word. A korban chatos is for avirus we did b'shogeg. Right? So a chet is considered b'shogeg, by accident, without malicious intent. And when a person does a chet b'shogeg, there is no b'zayin to Hashem's covered the same way. So therefore, you're asking primarily for the slicha. So slach lanu avinu, Hashem, please forgive the aver itself that we did b'shogeg. And not only that, we go up to the next level. Mechal lanu, give us mechila on our pesha. Pesha is averus we did b'mezid on purpose. Those averus come with a bizayon in Hashem's covet. So we're not ready to ask for slicha on those. We're going to ask for mechila on those. Pesha all over means intentional. That's what it means. What's the raya? I mean, all the mafreshim say that, but
what's the raya?
I don't think the raya is Pesha's mezid. I think the raya is, we need a raya to explain why chet is shogeg. Every avera is understood, the understood connotation of an avera is you did it by on purpose. A pesha is like a negligence, pshia. It's like the lashon of a pshia. It's a negligence. You did it, you know. What? You want to know how I know Pesha means mazen? I don't know, but it means mazen. What was a Pesha? No, Pesha. Shoim. No, it's not that. Yeah, but it's more. It's intentional, yeah. So now, it's like this. So therefore, it's a build-up. On the Averus B'shogeg, we're asking for a slicha. On the Averus B'mezid, we're asking at least for mechila. You know, I'm sorry, Hashem, I didn't mean to punish. I didn't mean to go against your covet. And please be mechila your covet. Okay. Now it makes sense, by the way, why in slicha, we refer to Hashem as an av. Because in Av, most times, a person doesn't mean to rebel against the father. Right? And only with the father can you have the audacity to request slicha. You know, the king, you went against the God, you want me to be Moichel, fine. But you want now slicha from the king? I have no relationship with you. I'm your king. I'm in charge. I don't have a relationship with you, so I'll be Moichel my covet. But I'm not going to go just ignore it. Go the other way. Oh, here. It's somebody. There you are, right? Okay. I was coughing a lot this morning also.
Huh?
He was coughing a lot this morning also. Okay, so the midah of Av is where you can expect slicha, because slicha is when you have a relationship with the person. So then you can expect slicha. Mechila is harder to expect that. So therefore, we ask when we're referring to Hashem as Malkeinu, then we can only expect mechila, but the slicha not necessarily. Or at least we don't have the audacity to request that right away. Okay, now therefore. We begin the That's why the word Slicha is related to Chet, which is by accident, and that's related to Avinu. And then Mechila is related to Pesha, which is related to Malkeinu. Okay? Now, just by the way, this is in general. But then the Mefarshim add on a very interesting point like this. That they add on the point is like this. That in fact, every single Avera really may have in it both elements. Sometimes, depending on your relationship with Hashem, he could look at it, but an Avera sometimes has both elements to it. It has an element that there's the Avera itself, and then it has the element of the Pesha of the Avera. So there's like multiple elements to every Avera. So the Abu Jaham says an unbelievable thing. He says, when a person has a relationship with his father, the father assumes right away that anything you did, even if it's amazing, it was probably shogeg. You probably didn't mean it. It's not an assault on my relationship with him. Most people, the father does not assume that most things means, oh, he doesn't love me anymore. Right? Most people don't assume that just because the father, someone did an avera to their father, they didn't listen. My child doesn't love me anymore. You don't think that way. The king, one second, even if he did it by accident, the first thought is this guy rebelling? Where does he stand? Which side of the, who's he voting for? Where is he? Right? So the king is running to assume it. Even the Averas Beshogeg are a Pesha. And the father assumes that even the Averas Bemezid are a Chait. So therefore, when you have the relationship with Hashem as Avinu, then he's going to assume that everything is a chait, and you can ask him for slicha. But if you have a relationship with Hashem as Malkeinu, okay, Malkeinu, Hashem's gonna quicker assume things are a pesha rather than a chait, and you're gonna have to settle for mechila. What? Well, if it's b'shogeg, then it's shogeg. It's not that bad. I mean, it's bad, but it's not the same. It's not as bad if it's a shogeg. And even if it's amazing, but Hashem has the chesed to look at it like a shogeg, it would also be the same thing. Okay? Now, the Vilna Gaon says, going with the Vilna Gaon's son, in the Siddur Agra, going with the theme he said last week in Hashiveinu, how do you reach the Darga of Avinu? Through learning Torah. So he says, someone who learns Torah is allowed to right away start the conversation, give me slicha. Because he has a relationship with Hashem as Avinu. So he's allowed to start off saying, look, you're my father. I learned your Torah. I delve into it. Mm-hmm. Okay, look, even if I did something wrong, you think it was a pesha? I spend all the day learning Torah. I spend my time studying. You think I did a pesha? It was just a chait. So give me slicha. Everyone else, okay, look, I try to do things right because I'm in your malchus. But, when you do things wrong, Hashem's not as quick. So then it's going to be mechila. And then it's going to be a pesha. This is the outline of the bracha. The bracha is saying is that either it's talking about chataim versus peshaim, like shogeg versus mezid, by accident versus on purpose, or even within one avera, depending on who you are, it could be a chait or a pesha. It could be looked at differently by different people. Okay, so that's depends on your relationship with Hashem, how he's going to look at it. And that's going to be the slicha versus the mechila, and that's the avinu versus the malkeinu. Okay, now, Rafal keeps on, what's bothering him is, what's worse?
No, what's bothering me is another question, we're up one level now, is you're not giving us enough. Understanding that we know duality exists before we get to the brother. We know that relationship
Right. Right.
Right. So it's coming from our perspective of we're first addressing the father.
Right.
The father's
yes. But in the father, you have to, and in the father, you're allowed to go all out. Now, one second. But.
It's a
duality, for sure. But I just want to say one thing. We asked a question, why in the beginning of the bracha, which I think this is maybe underlying a little bit what you're getting at, which is worse. You kept on saying, like, you know, in the beginning of the bracha, we start with slicha, and then we go to mechila. But at the end of the bracha, we say moichel and then soleach. So which one is it? So the answer is that when you're addressing the father, you could ask for slicha right away. But moreover, this I saw from the Sifsei Chaim. When you're dealing with a chait, so asking for slicha on a chait, since it's by accident, so even a slicha is easier to ask for than asking for mechila on the pesha. Because now you're asking for Hashem to forgive the so therefore we start, slicha is a higher level, but slicha for a chait is a lower level. So first we ask, slach lanu avinu ki chatanu. Listen, I'm your father, I'm your son, everything I did was only a chait, so I'm asking for slicha. Okay, melech, I'm asking for mechila. But then we say, now we're going to build up. Even on the pesha, you're a moichel v'soileach. Even on pshoim, and even when you're our king, you do both. You're a mochel, you're a king who gives mechila, but you also give slicha. Even to chatoim, even to pshoim, and even to people that are your only treat, only as a malkeinu. So therefore, it starts with slicha, because we're talking about slicha from the av, and slicha on the chatoim. That's lighter. Then it goes to mechila. But once you're in the world of the melech, then mechila comes first, and then slicha. So therefore it goes, ki moichel v'soleach. That's the pshat, the geshmak of pshat. That mechila and slicha are two different things, and it's true. They're two different things, and each one depends on what the avera is that you're asking for. That's what, and your relationship with Hashem when you're asking for it, that will determine which one is on a higher level than the other. So you get it? So there's slicha than mechila, because that's avinu versus malkeinu. But within malkeinu, we're going to say, no, you're a mochel and a soleach. Yes and no, but
it's just the covenant of Malkus.
Yeah. Yeah, but Kol Zman, you can Kol Zman. I'm assuming you're right. I'm assuming there is a threshold where even against Avinu, you could end up doing a Pesha. In which case, it's probably worse. But Kol Zman, you could still define that whatever you did against Avinu was only a chait. So, to break one's relationship with the father, if the father thinks you're rebelling, takes a lot. That's not the normal.
Why do we posture that? Why do we say stop on Avinu?
No, because that's what I'm saying. Because first of all, because the Abu Jaham says, because Hashem is willing to, as an Av, view most of what we did as a chait, not as a pesha. Number one. Number two, you have the Vilna Gaon's pshat, which is that when you're treating a similar thing, when you're treating Hashem as Avinu, again, same, he's going to look at it like a chait, okay? And so that's why we're saying that. Okay, now, ki moichel v'soleach ata, so now Hashem, you are a moichel and a soleach, baruch ata Hashem, chanun, you are chanun. First of all, chanun comes from chen, which means we don't deserve it. Matnas chinam. So chanun, you give us things that we don't deserve. Marba l'sloach. Marba means you give a lot of slicha. Because, a regular avinu and a regular makinu, how often is it that you need to come on to slicha? But for Hashem, we need to ask Hashem constantly. So therefore, your marba l'sloach, it's a constant slicha. Okay? No, but that's what I'm saying. No, it's not the slicha is really a higher level than mechila, but slicha, but slicha is a higher level. That's why we end up the bracha with slicha, but we start off with slicha because in the context of a chait, it's a lower level.
We're
nichnas with the low.
Exactly.
That leads up to on the pshaim. Exactly. Then we go up to mechila on the pshaim. Then we say Hashem, you're a mochel, and even a soleach on the pshaim. And then we end up with slicha on everything. So that's the build-up.
It's on both.
Yeah. Because it's wrapping up the bracha. It's trying to get both. It's trying to get everything. Now, by the way, one other thing. You know, in Yom Kippur, there's another word that we use, which is kapara.
Yeah, I know.
Where does that come in? There's slicha and kapara. So kapara, they say, is a whole different thing. Kapara, you ever heard the word kapara? Yeah? So what's that? What is that's not slicha, no mechila. What is that? So that's a third thing. Okay? Yeah. That kapara is that every avera, there's two parts, there's really a third. Two parts is, number one is the actual thing you did wrong. Number two is the pegima in the covet of the king. And the third one is what you did wrong to yourself by doing that. So if you tell your child, absolutely, you know, this, that bleach over there, do not drink it. Okay? Or whatever, the vinegar. Let's be a little, okay? So that vinegar over there, do not drink it. It's going to really hurt your stomach. Okay? Now you go over to the, now the kid comes back and drink half the bottle of vinegar. So now they disobeyed you, and they in front of everyone, is against your COVID, they disobeyed what you said, but they're also going to have a stomachache. Right? So they're going to have a bad stomachache, right? So every aver that we do is not just Hashem randomly give us rules. If Hashem gives us a mitzvah to do, for us to do that mitzvah, it's supposed to bring about a spiritual perfection. And if a person does an avera, it creates in them a spiritual imperfection. So you can ask for slicha and mechila, Hashem, you know, take away what I did against your covenant, and take away the fact that I did anything wrong. Clear my record. Okay, I'll clear your record, but you drink the vinegar, you're going to have a stomachache. Your neshama is not going to look the same. Someone that eats this, someone that engages in that activity, is not going to look the same on a spiritual level as someone that didn't. Period. I mean, there's nothing I can do about that. Right? You know, so the chiddush of kapara is that kapara takes away even the effect that it had on your neshama. That's the chiddush of kapara. Kapara is like from Lashon of cover it over. It's like it shouldn't be there. Like it says in the pasuk, "Besashlich b'mitzuloi siyam kol chatoisam." You should make our affairs as if it was a stone in the. It's like a stone in the ocean, that it made a few ripples, but then after a while it settles. You don't even know that it was ever thrown in. So the aver should disappear to the point that even the effect on the neshama should completely disappear. And by the way, this was this vart is a great vart that Rabbi Chana Wasserman asked the Chafetz Chaim. That Rabbi Chana Wasserman asked the Chafetz Chaim. He said, "What's the chiddush of tshuva?" The Sosi Sharm says, Shari Tshuva says that tshuva is one of the most spectacular gifts mankind was ever given. It's such a chesed. Only chesed. The Gemara says that if someone did mitzvahs their whole life and repents, they lose their reward. If you're toya ala rishonis, if you you could lose your reward for your mitzvahs. If at the end of the time that you did them, you know what? It wasn't worth it. Why did I do all that mitzvahs? You lose your reward. You lose because now you lose your reward for the mitzvah. Which, by the way, the Nitziv says that's why it doesn't make sense to sell mitzvahs to someone. Can you sell your schar? So he says, amongst his arguments, he says, you can't sell schar, you can't buy schar. Because let's say you buy the schar, and then the other guy decides that he doesn't want to do the mitzvah anymore. Now you lost your schar. So you got to get like olam haba insurance, you know? So he says, you can't, it doesn't really work. But anyway, what? Yeah. So we're going to go into that business. But in the meanwhile, So Rabbi Chana Wasserman asked the Chafetz Chaim, so what's the chiddush of tshuva? By it's not a big chesed. By mitzvahs, it's like that also. That if a person repents on their mitzvah, they lose their schar. So the Chafetz Chaim said, yeah. But the guy still did the mitzvah. His neshama he still has the effect of the mitzvah. That you can never take away. But by tshuva, a person that does true tshuva can take away even the effect that the aver did in his on his neshama. That's the chiddush of tshuva. So that's not mentioned in this bracha. That's mentioned more kapar lanu. That's not really mentioned here. But there is another element to slicha, which is, it should be as if we never did it at all, and that's kapara, and that's a higher level, which is not even mentioned here. But that's, you know, to keep in mind, there is such a concept out there. Okay? We don't really talk about it the rest of the year, so I don't know.
We're almost placating. This is sugar coated.
Because I'll tell you why. Because I'm making this up on the spot, but I think the reason is because this is the nusach for everyone. When you're writing a nusach for everyone, you got to keep it private. When you're doing a private nusach, then you can go all out. But this is the nusach for Gantz Kal Yisrael. So you got to keep it more basic. You're not going to start getting into the pratim of each and every avera.
Sort of like, you know, we're keeping it calm. In other words, if you want to say the katayim and the katayim and the shanu, in other words, it seems to be like we're not really saying it exactly fully, the full culpability of what we've done.
Yeah, okay.
We're sort of like we're hedging our bets here.
Okay, I'm not sure. I want to say one other thing. Very nice pshat. That you know the concept of tshuva. If you did it by accident, if you did it out of yira, if you do tshuva out of fear, so then the Gemara says that your zdoinos, your averus that you did mazid, turn into shagaga. They become as if you did it by accident. But if you did tshuva out of love, then the averus that you did, even on purpose, turn into schuyas for you. So what does all that mean? So in the context of what we're talking about, what it means is the following. When a person does an aver b'shagig, even though they did the avera, but the pagim against Hashem, that you don't have as much. When a person does tshuva out of yira, so they're showing that they care about their relationship with Hashem. So therefore, there's donos, which is a real attack on Hashem's kavod. So now you're saying, no, Hashem, I am fearful of you. So that's like malkeinu. Okay, so Hashem says, all those donos, I'll be mocha. But it still is like, it's like a shogeg still, because you still have the other element of the avera. A mochalet, but you still have the fact that you did the avera. You didn't get slicha necessarily. You got mechila. So therefore, it's like this donos turned into shkagos, because you're treating me like malkeinu. You're saying, I'm doing tshuva out of yira. Right? Tshuva out of yira is malkeinu. So you got mechila for the mazid part of it, but the fact is that you're still the shogeg part. There's still the part that you did the avera, and the avera stuff lingers on. You didn't get fully tshuva for that. But you do tshuva out of ahava, so not only do you get rid of the mechila, and you get slicha, but it turns into schuyas, which means that now it's going to have that avera itself is going to have a positive effect on your neshama. It's going to be the same way that a mitzvah affects your neshama. The avera that you did is going to now turn into a positive effect on your neshama through the tshuva process. And it's going to actually bring a positive effect to the neshama. So therefore, you're going to get like kapara. Tshuva me'ahava, you're even going to get like the kapara. It's going to make it not only that it's like you didn't do it, and not only are you going to get the mechila, and not only are you going to get the slicha, not only are you going to get the kapara, it's going to have the opposite effect. It's actually going to affect the neshama in a positive way. And that's what it means. That's what it means that the zdonos turn into schuyas. Because the same way that a schuyas has in a way to affect your neshama, so the mitzvah has also. That's just, as I was preparing the shir, I thought of this pshat. I think it's a very nice pshat. I didn't see it anywhere, but I think it's a nice pshat. And, okay, so that's now just one thing. The next, okay, we'll stop here. Scott.